The primary mark of the true Christian is love for God. In fact, if we don't truly love God, we'll have great difficulties living the Christian life. If you look at your life and you see areas where you're really struggling, maybe areas where there's really an issue of obedience, it really goes back to, do I love God? Loving God is such a necessary thing. The Shema, the great Old Testament confession of faith, found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, declares what our testimony is to be: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And how is this love to be then lived out? Well, by obeying God's commandments. Listen to Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And then chapter 11, verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Turning to the New Testament, we see the same truth spoken of in Matthew chapter 22, where we are told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And again, this love is to be expressed through obedience. How do we know we love God? By obeying what God asks us, really commands us to do. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus clearly said, if ye love me, ye will do what? You will keep my commandments. And our Lord added in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John echoed these same words in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. I think it's interesting here. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Loving God and loving the children of God always go together. Amen? But anyway, our text this morning comes from John chapter 21, where we find Jesus reinstating and restoring Peter to ministry. Now, as you know, Peter had publicly denied the Lord, and now he needed to be publicly restored. In fact, the other disciples needed to hear Peter's reaffirmation of his love for Christ and Peter's recommissioning from the Lord, for they too needed the encouragement such a healing would bring to their inner circle. And frankly, our Lord wants to restore you and me. When we forsake the Lord, when we deny our Lord, when our love for the Lord grows cold, God doesn't abandon us. He does not spurn us. Rather, he seeks to forgive us and cleanse us and fit us again for the service that he has for us, even as he did for Peter. What love! And how assuring this truth is, for we all have hearts that are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. And so I pray that Peter's restoration will encourage our hearts. Restoration today. Friends, God is in the redeeming business. This biblical account, verses 15 through 17, really has three parts. We have Christ's three questions, we have Peter's three answers, and then we have our Lord's three responses to Peter's answers. And they all intersect throughout this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. I want us to look at Jesus' beautiful restoration of his disciple Peter. And just think, as we work through this text, that this is what Jesus wants to do for you. Put yourself in Peter's place. As we see in verse 15, following breakfast, the text says, "So when they had dined," in other words, they were finished, "the attention of our Lord turned to Peter." Now, I'm sure you recall Peter had another experience beside a fire. And we see that in John chapter 18, when Peter denied his Lord three times. Well, now beside this fire of coals, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas," that name Jonas can really be John, "Simon, son of John." Now, before I continue, let me say, Jesus calling Peter Simon, son of Jonas, was our Lord's way of reminding Peter of his past denials. Christ didn't just come out and say, "Well, Peter, I know you denied me. In fact, I heard you deny me. I saw that you denied me." Know what he said, and this is just how Jesus is. Jesus is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. But here he says, he uses Peter's true name, Simon, son of Jonas. When he did so, it was his way to rebuke and to correct Peter of his past. We see that in Matthew 17. You see that in Mark 14 and Luke 22. Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas," rather than his nickname, Peter. Maybe this was something like when parents use a child's full name to get his or her attention. For me, it would have been Robert John Lane. "Come here. We need to talk." What's going on? Well, notice our Lord's first pointed question to Peter. He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, the immediate question that comes to my mind is, who or what are the "these" referred to here in this text? Now, really, we aren't sure. Maybe our Lord was referencing Peter's fishing gear, maybe his fishing career, maybe his boat. Maybe our Lord was specifying the other disciples. "Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me?" In light of your proud statement that you would never fall away no matter what these other disciples did, Peter, how much do you really love me? And let's look just as a reminder at Peter's self-confident statement, which we can see in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. Peter said unto him, unto Christ, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And that statement was made just before he did what? He denied his Lord three times. So Jesus is saying, "Peter, you have returned to your fishing business. You have stopped being a fisher of men. Peter, do you really love me? Do you really love me more than these?" Which raises this divine question for you and me. And I'll use myself as an example. Robert Lane, do you love me more than fill in the blank? How much do you really love me? Do you love me more than your ministry, more than your possessions, more than your favorite teams, more than that ball game that's coming on this afternoon? Do you love me more than your hobby or hobbies? Do you love me more than these? I want you to think just right now, something that you really love. How many of you can think of something you really love right now? And I mean, this is important. Do you love Jesus more than what you just thought of? I think that's a fair question, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus was asking Peter? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me to the extent that you are willing to forsake these loves and follow me? In other words, if the love that you are just thinking of hinders you from following Jesus Christ, then what do you love more? I mean, what decision then are you going to make? Are you going to love these things or this thing, or are you going to truly follow Jesus? Remember, Christ said, if you're not willing to forsake all, you can't follow me. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's hard. I mean, really, from a human perspective, Lord, do I have to give up something that I really love and to follow you? Well, the point is, you have to love Jesus more than those things. The beautiful thing about loving Jesus is that when you love him, when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then it seems like he takes care of all the loves in your life. Amen? In fact, I have come to realize that when I love the Lord Jesus supremely, and I put the love that I have for him first ahead of all the other things in life, people in life that I love, I have noticed that in loving him more than these, then I love these other things in a more special way. It's a commandment to love the Lord. Loving anything more than Christ is idolatry. Loving anything more than Jesus is a life not well lived. In fact, it's a life not lived at all. Oh, may we not be like the believers of the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 who had left their first love. Well, what was Peter's response to the Lord's inquiry? Notice verse 15, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Now, when Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, the Greek verb he used here was agapao, which is often used to describe self-sacrificial love. But when Peter, in response, affirmed his love for Jesus, he used the Greek verb phileo, which is a brotherly kind of love and affection. It's a love between two good friends. Now again, Peter had previously claimed that his love for and commitment to Jesus was superior to that of his colleagues. But after his dismal failure, he wasn't going to be so arrogant and say that he loved Jesus with a sacrificial love. Peter had been humbled. Well, in light of this more humble answer, Jesus responded, "Feed my lambs." And the Greek verb used here for feed really does mean to feed, to graze, to tend to, and it's in the present tense. And so Jesus was saying to Peter, "Peter, I want you to continuously, I want this to be your vocation to shepherd my lambs. For they are immature, they are vulnerable, they are needy." Friends, what Christ was doing here was commissioning Peter to a pastoral office of caring for his sheep. And by the way, it is the same responsibility given to every pastor. I think of Paul's instruction to pastors in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." And then Paul basically said the same thing in 2 Timothy 4:2 when he said to Timothy, "Preach the word." What is a pastor's primary responsibility? It's to teach and preach the word of God. It's to open the Bible, say, "This is what God is saying to you. This is what God is saying to me." Written word of God. And so Jesus was commissioning Peter to take care of the lambs in the flock. Well, continuing to reinforce his point on the supremacy of love as the motive to pastor, to be obedient, to be faithful in this calling, Jesus asked Peter a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest," and there's the Greek word again, agapao, "thou me?" To which Peter again answered, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you." To which Jesus then charged him to feed, to shepherd my sheep. Now Christ chose a different Greek verb than the one translated feed in verse 15. He used the verb which expresses the full responsibility that pastoral oversight entails. It's the Greek word poimeno, poimen. When I was a student in college, the society that I was part of, the men's society, was poimen, and it meant shepherd. We were the shepherd's society. But then Jesus asked Peter a third time, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And John then added, and Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Now the reason for Peter's grief was a change in the Lord's vocabulary. Unlike his two previous questions, this third time, Jesus used Peter's own word for love, phileo, which really called into question the less than total devotion Peter felt that he was safe in claiming. Peter, do you really phileo me? We know you really don't agape me, but do you phileo me? Friends, the point is Peter's present living did not support even this phileo level of love. And this realization dawned on Peter and broke his heart. You know, sometimes, let's say in the course of a message, in course of devotions, there should be conviction. There should be a moving of the Spirit. I think whenever the Word of God is proclaimed, there should be a sense of conviction. There should be a sense of, Lord, you're speaking to my heart. Lord, I recognize the need in this particular area in my life. And all Peter could then say was, verse 17, Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, in your omniscience, you know that I do love you, that I do phileo you. To which Jesus graciously responded, feed my sheep. What love Jesus was bestowing on Peter. You know, sometimes our method of correcting people, I mean, we give both barrels, right? That's not usually Jesus' way in dealing with us. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes it's reflective of what we see here. Well, Peter took to heart Jesus' commands to shepherd Christ's sheep, and thus he was restored. But it was a hard lesson learned, for Peter had to learn that he could not love Jesus in his own strength and that he needed the power of the living God to rightly love the Lord and therefore to be able to properly, to rightly shepherd the flock. And thankfully, Peter received that power when he was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And thankfully, we can declare that Peter remained obedient and faithful to the Lord's commission for the rest of his life. Aren't we glad that we can still, by God's grace, write the next chapter in our life? This maybe present chapter does not have to be the last chapter in our lives. And his pastoring from that point on involved not only faithfully proclaiming the gospel, which we see in Acts chapter 2 and 3, but also accurately feeding the flock. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so let me ask you again, do you love Jesus more than these? What about the particular thing that came to mind earlier in the message? Do you love Jesus more than that person or that thing or that aspect of your life? Do you love him more? And you say, well, that's such an unfair question. Is it? Have you left your first love? Oftentimes, after a person is saved, right after that, he's really in love with the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? I mean, he can't do enough for the Lord. But oftentimes, it's kind of like a marriage. After a while, you kind of get used to one another. And it almost becomes a duty to be a husband, a loving husband or a loving wife, rather than a delight. What a sad way to have a marriage where you just kind of have some boxes that you check every day. Is that love? Is that fulfilling? Is that what your marriage should be? Is that what your relationship with God should be? The remedy for your lack of love is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, where Jesus says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, do the first practices, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick, thy lampstand, out of his place, except thou repent." Friends, it's a serious thing not to love Jesus more than these. God is patient, he's kind, he's long-suffering, but after a time, he does not. I mean, his patience runs out. You don't want him to remove that candlestick, that light of truth in your life. So the remedy is to repent. And then the reward when we do repent for such loving, faithful service is seen in verse 7. "To him that overcometh," and the Greek used here is nikao, we get our English word Nike from this Greek word, which means to conquer, to be victorious in the midst of the circumstances of life. "To him will I give to eat," this is the reward, "of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." You say, "Well, Pastor Lane, what does that mean?" Well, that tells me heaven will be a special place, yes, for all believers, but especially for those whose love for Christ was marked by loving obedience. I truly believe there will be degrees of suffering in hell, but I also believe that there will be degrees of enjoyment in heaven. And so following Peter's three denials, the three times Peter said that he did not even know the Lord. Remember, he said, "I know not that man." I mean, that's going pretty deeply in sin when this one that you had walked with for the last 3.5 years, you're telling these folk, "I don't even know that man." And you use cussing and swearing to make your point. Following these three denials, the three times Peter said, "I don't even know that man," he now expressed three times, "Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, and Lord, you know that I love you." Can you say, "I phileo Jesus"? That's where Peter started. But then Jesus' love began to conquer his heart more and more. And Peter would be able to say, through the Spirit of God, "Jesus, I agape you. I love you with a heart that is willing to sacrifice. I love you with a heart that is willing to obey. I love you with a heart that's willing to walk with you." Meaning he then was free to love and to enjoy his Savior. The reason we don't enjoy the living God more is because we have too many other loves getting in the way. I mean, what if I said to my wife, "You know, I love you, but if I had 3 or 4 other girlfriends," I mean, what would that say, honestly, about my love for Kay? You know what she would tell me? "You don't love me." And say, "But Kay, you know, I really love you." She would say, "Hit the road, Joe. You don't love me." And you know, really, that's the essence of our love for Christ. When we can honestly say, "Lord, I love this person, or love this thing, or love this hobby, or whatever. Or I love you, but I love these other things really a lot too, to the point where it affects my love for you." I think God can, or Jesus can say, "Well, you really don't love me. You really don't love me." But again, Jesus is here to restore. Jesus is here to enable us to love him more than these. And we see that in Peter's life. Later, Peter lovingly gave his life as a martyr for Jesus. He was crucified, tradition tells us, upside down. What agape love. So as I close, do you love Jesus in this way? Friends, it's the key to living for Jesus. If you are denying him again and again with your words and attitudes and actions, you can repent as Peter did. You will be cleansed and you will be restored. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, the joy of God's restoring grace and forgiveness. Oh, the joy of having a pure love for God. Remember, our Savior does restore the repentant. He does renew the humble and contrite heart. Friends, the humble and contrite heart God never, ever despises. Oh, might we be able to say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, Jesus, my Savior, 'tis now.